The main graduation is canceled, but the individual schools have graduations as well. So there's a lot of ceremonies that will be taking place. But like you said, I share that also, the idea that they missed their graduation 4 years ago. But hopefully their individual schools will go forward peacefully.
And the main graduation being canceled, do you support that?
Well, I believe that that was a decision that they had to make. They were expecting about 65,000 people on campus, and they just did not feel that it was going to be safe.
Well, they didn't feel that it was going to be safe because of trash baby college protesters. I think I would lose my mind if my college graduation was canceled because a bunch of pro-Hamas trash baby protesters. I would be so mad. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Got a bunch of people out there. We love Hamas. All that nonsense. There's no way. I feel bad for the kids who, first off, don't go to a trash bag university. I think these Ivy League universities, in fact, this is one of the things I have for you on deck today, is like, there's a serious, serious disparity between the degree and the cost of a degree from one of these four-year institutions and what you actually make in your salary. So you have all these people that are going into serious debt to now have everything delayed. That's like the one good thing. That's the one thing you get. You get your fancy schmancy commencement ceremony at your trash bag baby university. Now you can't even have that. Happy Monday. Right, Dana Loesch with you, top of this first hour, and we're going to roll through all this. It's kind of a slow news day, but we've got some stuff that has to deal with this, you know, that because there's a lot of these college protesters that have delayed because there's a lot of graduation ceremonies that are happening like in the next week or so for some of these universities. The last day is this week, like they have their last day of school this week. So they had over at Columbia. Because I know that there are some people on the right that were very eager to make it look like they had some libertarian bona fides because they were desperate to be accepted by people that they think are edgy. They're out there telling everyone, oh, they're getting arrested for free speech. Look, trespassing is not free speech. So if you're if that's your argument, then you don't believe in property rights and you're a communist. So pick one, because you don't get to have a foot in both lanes. So the Columbia president is telling people, you got to disperse, because if you're not, you know, we're going to consider trespass. That's what all of these other universities have been saying. That's what they said in UT. UT was you have to disperse because now you're going to be cited with trespassing. And you had all of these idiots going out there. That free speech, it's trespass. I mean, if you believe that, again, that that's a protected form of protest, I'm going to take my happy ass to your front yard and I'm going to do monstrous things in your front yard as a form of protest. And you can't do anything about it because you already admitted that you don't believe in property rights. And so you think that arresting me or citing me in any way is somehow is a violation of my First Amendment rights, correct? That's where we're at. That's where we're at. So they were saying it's because of trespass. So they're making everything nasty. That's when you get a glob of these protesters. And guess what? Everything smells like feet and ass with these people. That's what happens every single time. Whether it was the Occupy stuff, whether it was the Antifa stuff, whatever it was, they have this amazing ability to make everything positively rank. And you know what it is, Kane?
What's that?
It's the Toms of Maine. It's a fake deodorant. You know what it is? It's hope in a stick, but it's not hope. It's just, it's stinky, nasty, nasty hippie stick. That's what it is. So it's the Toms of Maine. So they had this Columbia president saying that everybody needs to disperse because they've had, of course, I love the people who think that camping out in the college quad is going to make other people not defend themselves when Hamas attacks them. It's amazing, right, how that works. Nobody said, Hamas, please release the hostages. Note that that's never been a single sign from any of these people. That's literally all Hamas would have to do. But everyone is too afraid, apparently, to make that request. No one wants to say, release the hostages. None of these protesters have signs that say, release the hostages. Do you know how easy it would be? This would just be so much easier if they just released the hostages. Then guess what? Everything would be done. But they don't want to release the hostages. So instead of asking Hamas to release the hostages, they're going to get mad at Israel. And then they're going to get mad at everyone else who also thinks that maybe some of the American hostages might ought to be released. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. So this Columbia president He's saying that we need to have, you guys need to voluntarily disperse or else. Johnson, Speaker Johnson says Biden should call in the National Guard to quell protests at colleges. I don't know if I want my, if I want the National Guard to be called in, because I kind of like it that they're all eating themselves. I mean, there's part of me that likes to watch this happen on the college campus because they're all trash. It's just a facility of they rob people blind. They give you a subpar education and then everyone goes and works in retail after. Right. So all they got to do is release the hostages. One leader of Gaza was appealing over the weekend to the U.S. to stop the Rafah offensive, which is apparently everybody's been talking about the planning of the Rafah offensive forever. If Netanyahu would stop focus grouping with Western nations on it, then this would be easier also. Instead of that leader appealing to the U.S. to stop Israel's planned offensive in Rafah, maybe that leader of Hamas, that Gazan leader, could tell Hamas to release the hostages. Why is that not ever part of the headline? Why is it that no one in the press goes, hey, did you ask about the hostages? Did you ask about releasing the hostages? That's never a question. Surely I cannot be, you cannot be the only people that think of this, right? Have you guys, I don't know, tried releasing the hostages? Have you tried that? It's not brought up. I don't think they have the hostages anymore, if I'm being honest. I know that sounds mean to say. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying that I think that Hamas killed them and they don't have any other way to negotiate. That's why you don't see any proof of life or anything. They had one guy who has like one arm now, who that video was released. Apparently it was made months ago and it was just released now. And that's what they consider their proof of life. That's not any, really one hostage with all the ones that you took. Pfft. Wild. So also what happened over the weekend, I think we are all your dogs safe? Is everybody's dog safe? I wrote about this if you're over at, if you get my Substack. And we're going to talk more about it. So we're taking nothing from this part. We're going to talk more about it here coming up. But just to set the table, in case you led a happy life over the weekend and you didn't get on the trash pool that is social media, you didn't see the big fight over whether or not you should brag about shooting and killing your dog while you're also leading a campaign to be the VP pick. And that's exactly what happened with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. Now, I've met her one time, any kind of judgments on her character. Well, I think that she has no political acumen, if I'm being honest. I don't think Kristi Noem has any kind of political acumen, and I don't want anyone like that near elected, higher elected office, if I'm being honest. She wrote this book, and it's her VP audition book, right? She has this book out, and she is really trying to sell herself as a VP. She wants to be VP. I think it would be absolutely stupid and also reflective of having no political acumen to pick her as a VP. She comes from a red state that only has 3 electoral votes. End of. And so you think that, I don't know, she doesn't understand the difference between being dumb and being a firebrand. And I say this because there were a lot of people trying to draw comparisons to Sarah Palin. Say what you like about Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin at least knew how to not teacup a pistol while talking about how hard ass she was, and also didn't go shoot her dog and then brag about it in a book. So The Guardian published an excerpt from her new book where she details shooting a puppy. Now, it's not any puppy. It's a working breed. It's like some wired hair terrier, etc., a wire hair pointer. It's a working breed, meaning very smart, very intelligent, very active. You got to train these dogs, okay? And you have to consistently work with them. And so she writes out about that. She has this dog. She wanted to train this dog to hunt pheasant. And Cricket just, you know, couldn't. She was a young dog. And she literally writes about how Cricket was a puppy. And she was super excited to chase birds. And because she was out there literally in the field chasing birds, and then somehow she took her to her friend's house to talk to a local family, and the dog that was still being trained and had just run around in a field with birds was somehow allowed to run around the friend's family farm where they killed chickens. And then Kristi Noem had to shoot the dog. And then she is telling her naysayers that, I guess you don't understand farm life. Hi, rural Ozarks over here. And my husband grew up on a farm. There's a difference between a dangerous dog, a dangerous canine that has something wrong with it that cannot be checked, and a working breed puppy that hasn't been properly trained. And people who are not cosplaying at farm and ranch life understand this. There's a difference. But the story with this, and like I said, we're going to talk more about it, has to do, it's her people are trying to make it out to be a difference between farmers and ranchers and city dwellers. And it's not. As I wrote in my piece, the difference is between the people who think that it's smart to write and try to flex shooting a puppy and a goat in a gravel pit, a family pet, and bragging about it in a book while you're trying to win VP, and Mitt Romneying yourself, or and the people who don't think it's a smart thing to do that. Not everything is meant to be a story that's shared, okay? And the fact that she doesn't recognize this is hysterical. That's the worst political acumen from anybody that I've ever seen. I mean, like I said, Palin wouldn't do that. For all the criticism about Sarah Palin wouldn't go out there and tell stories on herself like that. That's just dumb. Why would you do that? Why would you make an unforced error? And then she had tens of her fans out there that were getting mad at the people pointing this out. Hi, these are politicians. I don't play the game that we treat them like monarchs and that we think that they're unaccountable and beyond criticism. I'm too American for that. I do not subscribe to that anti-American communist thought process that tells me that certain politicians are beyond reproach. Nope. I'm sorry. There's a history, an American history littered with dead bodies paid to not do that. So we're going to talk more about this. We're also going to get into, as we roll towards headlines, GOP, Trump and DeSantis met yesterday, actually. And I think they met yesterday in Miami. I don't think it's about VP stuff. I think it's about fundraising because DeSantis agreed to fundraise for Trump. And for the people who are like, DeSantis should be the VP, that's not going to happen, guys. I mean, I would be shocked. I'd eat my hat. I'd be shocked because you can't have domiciled in Florida. He's not based in New York anymore. You can't have two people from the same state run. It's not going to happen. So let's just move on from that talking point. But they did meet, and I think it has to do with fundraising. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We got a whole bunch of stuff to roll into as we get started. How is it possible that America could run short of amoxicillin? Amoxicillin is like the Swiss Army knife of antibiotics because it treats so many different types of infections. Doctors prescribe it for ear, nose, throat infections. It treats lower respiratory infections, sinusitis, which I've had before, skin infections, UTIs. So again, how could America run short on it? Antibiotics come from China and India. And if you or a family member get sick and there's no amoxicillin, now what? So that's why I have a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. I've used it for strep before. It comes with amoxicillin and it's in your kit now when you need it. So this is not a first aid kit. It's like an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with those essential prescriptions to treat over 39 medical issues. It's doctor prescribed antibiotics for infections of all types like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, you have a doctor's guide so you know exactly when and how to use each prescription. You've got your medications, no waiting to see the doctor, no lines at the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. So order yours online in minutes and they'll rush it to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Giving new meaning to your own personal Jesus, hat tip Depeche Mode. A virtual AI priest called Father Justin was created, and now he apparently is immediately not existent anymore because he was a virtual AI priest who believed he was real and was claiming that he could absolve your sins, and he got a lot of backlash because he was weird looking, and it's weird, and no, it's weird though, right? It was a Catholic chatbot, and people were saying that some of the stuff that he was talking about was really weird and not exactly, you know, scriptural. So maybe don't do it. Can we just like draw a line on what we can use AI for? Anybody who's using the AI death calculator, there's an urgent warning for those. I didn't know there was one. Well, great. I'm going to have to go look at it and terrify myself. They said it's an AI death calculator that can predict when you die. And they said that it's a Danish researcher project. It's called Life2Vec. And they said that it'll also predict your wealth, how long you'll live. And they said that, the copycat apps will steal your info. Wow, we knew that. I thought it was going to be like, don't use this app because you'll die from anxiety. I thought it would be like something to that effect, but no. Would you want to do that?
Remember we had the story last week about AI predicting cancer.
Yeah, like, so, okay, that's different from you're going to die right on this day.
Well, they're
day
predicting
at this time.
Death. They're predicting cancer. It's prediction. It's just basic prediction.
Well, one's predicting if you have a disease. The other one's predicting if you're going to just
yes,
die.
Yes, it's AI predicting things.
I don't like that. It's the new Nostradamus. Ooh, grizzly bears. They're going to reintroduce the grizzly bear to Washington State. So watch farm animals. They said it's a complicated process. They're trapping, trucking, and moving bears by helicopter from Montana and British Columbia. You're going to have a bunch of mad bears. I don't know. This sounds like because the government's doing it, it's going to be a disaster. We're going to have like cocaine bear. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have the bear running, like all these bears running wild, snatching everybody up. This is going to happen. California fast food chains are now serving sticker shock. People are surprised that if you vote for high taxes and incessant government spending, that you're going to get higher costs and inflation. And they don't quite know how to reconcile that. Did I do that? They don't understand it. Force. It's hard for me to feel bad.
Force,
you know what I mean?
Wage.
It's like we told you, and then you said we were racist and bigots and whatever. Give me something else. All kinds of isis, sexist, whatever. The era of one-stop grocery shopping is over. This is sad. Consumers are making 8% more trips to different retailers because inflation is just making a mess of household budgets. So they said that people are now, I didn't know this was a thing, they are buying their groceries from an average of 20.7 different retailers. This has gone up since like 2018, according to the Wall Street Journal. So they're visiting more stores and they're making more purchases, like they're diversifying their grocery purchases. I don't know. I'm lazy. Like, I hate shopping.
I'll go where the deals are.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be like my stepdad and be like, I'll drive 5 miles to save $2.09 with this coupon. I'm not doing that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because I'm like, my time's valuable and I'm mean when I drive. So I don't know. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, this bothers me. I would rather go one place and get all the stuff. I love the places where you can go and get all your necessities and your everyday items in one spot. There's something I like about that. So on the way, is your dog Mark safe? Also, Biden's pier in Gaza is going to cost $320 million taxpayer dollars. And nobody cares about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Literally nobody. Stay with us. The folks at ReadyWise, we may need this sooner rather than later, honestly. It's very important to be prepared. And ReadyWise makes it easy. You can use code DANA20 and save 20% on any regularly priced item. This is an American company that provides high-quality American food packed in their state-of-the-art American plant right here in America, the United States. So you're supporting American jobs from start to finish. And they got meals at the ready, whether it's a sudden storm, a power outage, heaven forbid, a political disaster, hiking adventures even. Maybe you just want to go hunting. You want to have an easy meal to take with you. Supply chain disruption, whatever the reason, you've got peace of mind knowing that you will have a nutritious meal on hand to feed your family. So they have emergency 1 month supplies of their 2-bucket bundle. That includes 36 pouches of their premium survival food, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day. Everything's made with high quality U.S. ingredients. And again, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
It's also wonderful to be back in Washington. I love being in Washington. The last time I was in D.C., I left my cocaine at the White House. Luckily, the president was able to put it to good use for his State of the Union.
That actually is funny. These people better laugh. That's the one time I'll say it's funny. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is, if you want to know what it is, it's when a bunch of people who couldn't make it in Hollywood, and so they ended up going for bylines in the political press, decide to get together and there's a term for it that I can't use on air in polite company, but they get together in a circle and backpat each other. And
is that what they do?
That's what they do, okay. Kane. That's exactly what the White House Correspondents' Dinner is. And it's, you get to see these people it's their first time to ever buy like couture dresses, and they go and they buy it off the rack. So it's all like not tailored and it's poorly fitting. And they show up at this event and they sit there and they hug each other and high five each other. And that's the whole evening spent doing that. I don't understand the purpose of it. I just don't think that I just don't feel like the press is supposed to have a buddy buddy relationship with people in elected office. They're supposed to hate each other. That's the history. They're supposed to hate each other. They should hiss when they pass by each other like two cats who don't like each other. That's how they should be. oh, don't be like, well, Dana, we want to have no, we don't want to have nicer relationships than that. That's the way that tension helps keep the republic healthy. In order to have a healthy republic, you have to have some tension. And that tension between the people and the government, where the government's always a little fearful of the people, that's how it's supposed to be. You're never supposed to be in fear of a bureaucratic agency or anybody in elected office. You're never supposed to live in fear of a member of the government. The government, which is supposed to be a really not a very happy position. People used to not want to serve in government. It's supposed to be like jury duty. You're not supposed to really want to do it. It was supposed to be kind of a burden. But then they realized that they're not really getting people that are going to voluntarily do it. So they had to add a couple perks in there to make it worth the people's time. And then it turned into this free-for-all. Now you have what you have. Because the selfless act of serving one's country in with civic participation is an underappreciated action. And it's one that most people don't take seriously. And so this is the position that we're in. You know, I was telling people earlier, and I made this remark on social media, because I get people so aggravated at me if I criticize the one of their particular politician that they like. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I will have at least criticized someone that you like as a politician. There, it just goes without saying. I've been on air for too long. And for too often to not have a record of this. And I have told people, don't be afraid to criticize politicians. I don't care what their little fan clubs think. You know, I'm never not going to criticize a politician or with a due criticism or hold them accountable for something that they do. And the demand to do so is un-American. So people need to stop worshiping politicians if they want a better republic. And so I go back to this thing with, like, for instance, some of her tens of fans are mad at me because I've been criticizing her over this. And it's worthy of criticism because it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Let's go back to the Mitt Romney real quick. This was like in 2011, 2012. Do you remember the story he told on himself where he took their family dog and he put the dog in a carrier and tied it on top of the roof and drove for 12 hours to Canada? Well, the dog had diarrhea. And lost it, and it ran all over the back windshield, the back glass of the car. And that's when they noticed something was wrong with the dog. So he takes the dog out, hoses it off, and then puts it back in the kennel and straps it back up on the top of the car, and they go on, continue on their way. Now, I think that's a little heartless. I don't expect everyone to treat, to be as a huge fan of dogs as I am. But at the same time, I don't believe in sacred cows, right? But I do believe that people should ask. I think they should at least have some common sense. I think they need to have common sense with stuff. That seems a little heartless. That seems a little mean to treat your dog like that. But secondly, it also demonstrated a lack of political acumen because you don't want to tell stories on yourself to put yourself in a position where you have to be on defense for something dumb. And that's what I get into this. This was the reason that we all know this is because she shared it because she wanted it to be discussed. And also it was an excerpt that The Guardian published. Let me explain to you how some of these excerpts work, having published four books. You work with your publisher and you both sign off on what excerpts you want released and which excerpts you do not want released. And so you, as the author, you are participating in that. And so for The Guardian to get that excerpt and be able to publish it means that Noam and her people and the publisher all had to sign off on it because they all thought it was okay. So not only did she like write about this in a book, but she also agreed to have it published as one of the excerpts in The Guardian, which is wild to me. And so the story, and I'm looking directly at the excerpts, it's this wire hair pointer called Cricket, and the dog was a puppy. And Noam writes that it was a female, had an aggressive personality, and she wanted to train it to use it to hunt pheasant. And so Noam says that she was trying to help calm the dog down and teach the dog how to behave. And she said that she took Cricket on this pheasant hunt with older dogs and that Cricket ruined the hunt and she went out of her mind with excitement. This is verbatim, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. And she tried to use an electronic collar to attempt to bring her under control. She said that didn't work. She said that when on the way home after the hunt, Noam stopped to talk to a local family. And I guess Cricket wasn't restrained properly in the truck because Cricket got out of the truck, I don't know how that happens, and attacked the family's chickens. Noam writes, grabbing one at a time, crunching it to death with one bite, and dropping it to attack another. And so she said that Noam writes that Cricket nipped at her. And she said the chicken's owner wept, Noam apologized, and she wrote the family a check for the price of the chickens. And she said that she hated that dog, and that she said she was less than worthless as a hunting dog. And she said, at that moment, I realized I had her put her down. So she dragged Cricket to a gravel pit and shot and killed her. Now, again, hi, from the rural Ozarks over here. My family are all farmers and ranchers. My husband grew up on a farm, and I've had working breed dogs. He's had working breed dogs. And I would love, for instance, to get a Belgian Malinois, but I don't have the time to train it, and I would rather train the dog myself to develop that relationship than not. So I realize that I do not have the time to properly train an animal, so I'm not going to get that type of animal. Bottom line is, we understand dogs, and you don't have to live in South Dakota to understand dogs either. There's a difference between a very dangerous animal that something's wrong with it, it's an actual danger to other people, and a puppy that has tons of energy is a working breed dog and has not been properly trained. There's a difference. But number two, that aside, why the hell would you write about this in a book and flex on it like it's an example of how decisive and tough you are? Because that's the whole purpose that she put this in the book. She was trying to show people that she's tough and that she's decisive, and look how decisive she is. She dragged her dog to a gravel pit and shot her before her kids got off the bus. She is tough. That doesn't look tough. It looks stupid, and it looks pick me. That has massive pick me girl energy. It's way try too hard. Are you serious? Come on. And it's kind of hard to take that if you've ever seen a picture of her holding a pistol, because she teacups the damn thing like she's going to afternoon high tea with the queen, or king, I guess now. It's just weird. I don't know why you would put that in a book thinking that that is going to be a flex for you. Now, her response to this, her people's response, were to ignore all of the people who are also ranchers and farmers who are like, look, we've had to deal with bad animals and not bad animals and untrainable animals, and that's never how we really treated anything. And they were trying to make it like it was just the media that was super upset. She said that it's the media, it's gasping with, she was trying to say that it was a politically incorrect story that had the media gasping. This has nothing to do with political correctness. The shock is because a very try-hard, pick-me moderate governor is desperate to land the coveted slot of VP. She grossly miscalculated and took her political chances to the gravel pit. That's what people are reacting to. I mean, it just made her look ridiculous, and it invites people to question her political acumen and reasoning. That's not a move that a smart politician makes. That is not a good tactical move. And all of her critics are critics over this, not because they're all suburban or urbanite, which I think is a really stupid deflection. It's just, why would you Mitt Romney yourself? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? It's just as simple as that. People know the difference between a dangerous nuisance animal and an untrained working breed puppy. And yeah, farm life isn't all butterflies and sunshine. I mean, I've been there during calving season. I've been there and I've seen like what my family goes through when calves are born with goats, with pigs, watch pigs go off to slaughter. I mean, But this is such a dumb thing to flex on. They want to characterize, like I said, this unforced error as some divide between flyover and city dwellers. But that dog don't hunt, so don't shoot it. It's a divide between the people who don't think it's smart to discredit yourself with a dumb story and the people who do. Because this is a tight race going into November, and you do not have the luxury, none of us do, to have as a VP, which she's never going to be VP. It's a red state with only 3 electoral votes, as I said. It's not going to happen. But you cannot have, as a VP contender or to install as the VP, a moderate. She had a very moderate record in the House and she was soft on lockdown. I'm happy to share those receipts coming up. You can't bring something like that to the table. Somebody who cannot avail themselves of silly, unforced errors. It's just bad. It's bad. And even before then, I just didn't think, I'm like, you can't have a reliably red state with only 3 electoral votes. That's not how it's going to work. But it is true. I mean, it is, you have the soft on lockdown stuff, and she's a moderate. She, don't forget the trans sports bill in South Dakota. There were a lot of conservatives that were upset over that. I had her on air on it. I've been very nice. I've had her on air. We've talked about it. She also was, she supported the lockdown and the mandates. In fact, the only reason that South Dakota didn't lock down was because the state legislature fought her. She's not this like conservative fighter. She's trying to reinvent herself. Literally, she's trying to have like a physical glow up. Her hair is longer. She looks a little different. I mean, it's obvious. But it was her state legislature that actually fought her, that forced her hand. It was House Bill 1297. John Schweppe had a big thing about this, where he wrote that her reputation on lockdown was basically wholly manufactured. She only appeared to oppose the lockdown because she was being forced by the Republican-led legislature. And she absolutely did support lockdown measures. In fact, he writes, quote, on March 30th, 2020, at the request of Governor Noem, South Dakota Representative Lee Qualm introduced House Bill 1297 that would have declared a state of emergency in South Dakota and give the Secretary of Health unprecedented powers to impose mandates and lockdowns. It was a very straightforward one-page bill, and Noem pushed it. And the South Dakota House of Representatives emphatically rejected her bill 50-17. She pushed lockdown. The Republicans in the state legislature rejected it. I mean, this is not up for debate. You can rewrite your image and you can try to, you can have your glow up and you can do all this stuff. But, you know, the fact remains there is a record. She was a very moderate Republican in the House. But she's reinventing herself now. But she doesn't have the political acumen. We have more on the way as we roll towards Days of These United States. Kel-Tec, you guys are very familiar with the Sub 2K, which is their 9mm carbine. It's been shipping for a while now. And if you're familiar with the previous iterations, the Gen 3 has some upgrades on it. So it makes it, I mean, the Gen 3, the whole thing folds in half. I mean, all of them fold in half. It makes it easy to store, deploy. It's accurate. You can have fun on the range. This 9mm carbine, though, you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. It's just a super easy, simple, singular twist and fold motion in either direction to get your, fold it in half. You don't have to detach your optics anymore. It just, the whole thing folds right in half. And it also takes Glock mags. So you got Glock 19 mags that fit flush and a better improved trigger, redesigned mechanics, lighter 5-pound pull that translates to improved accuracy, upgraded action as well, and makes it easier to rack. And internal buffer means softer recoil. So it's awesome. It's from Kel-Tec, made in America, Florida-based, family-owned and operated, and they make some really innovative stuff, and we need more of them. So to learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com, and tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You're hurting me!
Just don't lift me!
You're hurting me! Ow! 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 Help! Help! Help!
I love the cop that's picking up that protester because his hat doesn't even move. I mean, this, you're hurting me. It's the best. I want that as a ringtone. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Where was that? Was that Columbia? Where was it? Somebody was.
I forget which one that was.
It was one of those trash baby protesters.
Yes, that's accurate.
And they didn't move, so they got moved. No one was hurting you. Good heavens.
You know that cop in the gym is carrying around tires.
Just, oh, you know,
just for
is.
A
yeah.
day like that.
He was a unit. He picked this dude up and just carried him right out like a baby, like a screaming baby. That's what he did. Oh, my word. Was that what it sounded like when Noem took Cricket to the gravel pit?
Oh, gosh.
The memes are amazing. No, that protester, that was just, I think we are all that cop. And all the trash baby protesters, who are actually adults, they're all that dude that was screaming.
The kids that we saw in the grocery store used to fall on the floor and all that. Yeah, they've grown up now. This is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what they, exactly. Yeah, the ones that their parents indulged the tantrum.
Yeah.
And they gave in to them.
Yep.
They didn't believe in discipline.
Yep.
Now you can see the results of it. Now you see. Spare the baton, spoil the protester. Just saying, you know. Just putting that out there. Those protests are ongoing. They've been suspending, I think, what, like a number of these commencement ceremonies I was looking at. They can't get the people out of the quad. Yeah. Would you say USC?
Yeah, USC canceled their main graduation. And then on top of that, they went out and said that it was a great idea. And they're glad they did it.
Oh, a great idea. I'm sure all those graduates feel that way. I think the other students are getting just really mad about it.
Well, yeah. And you made this point last week that these protesters are being bussed in. None of these kids are actually that are protesting on these college campuses. Actually, most of these protesters don't even go to these colleges. So you canceling class isn't really affecting the protest. Not like these protesters are not going to show up anywhere.
Right. Yeah. What's going to happen when classes are over and they have to go back home? I mean, they can't. It's not like they can keep staying there at college. They're not going to have a dorm to go back to. A lot of the people who are off campus there, their leases are up, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know what they think they're going to do. It's not going to change anything. And like I said, not a single one of them are saying anything about the hostages. There's no release the hostages. There's no advocacy for any of that. It's just so fake. There's so much about all of this stuff that's so fake. Are you tired of the fakery in politics? I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of the clickbait engagement. I'm tired of the fake, stupid protests. This is also stupid. None of these people, half of them don't even, if they had to point to Gaza on a map, they couldn't do it. You know that. If they had to actually identify where Gaza was on a map, they could not do it. If you asked them to name the two territories in question, they couldn't do it. If you asked them to name the main ruling party and then its subsidiaries, they could not do it. They have no idea. They go along with it because they're scenesters. That's so lame. They're scenesters. Now, we've got coming up, goodness, we got a lot still on the way, including some GOP stuff, some 2024 stuff as well, and some culture. Another hour on the way. Stick with us. I'm having it right now, Black Rifle Coffee. Best dang coffee you can drink. And men, it makes your muscles bigger, puts hair on your chest. Women, makes your boobs bigger. Promise you it does. I mean, I'm just, these are, you know, unverified, you know, unstudied FDA claims. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, people's, you know, their own experiences. I just like because it wakes you up and it tastes better than all the other coffee that's out there. All the other coffee out there is just trash. It really is. This is a veteran-owned and veteran-run coffee company, and they hire veterans and active duty, and the discipline that they had when they were out in the field, when they were out on mission, this is the exact same discipline that they bring to making this coffee. They get the best beans. They have the most perfect roast. You have a ton of different roasts to choose from. I've been so into the Tactisquatch lately, although I like Silencer Smooth, and of course you got the Thin Blue line, which supports our law enforcement as well. And every bag is roasted right here in the U.S. of A, 5 days a week, Tennessee and Utah. You get ground coffee, the whole beans, K-cups, ready to drink. You got apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. You can save 20% using code Dana. So visit blackriflecoffee.com, try code Dana. You're going to save yourself 20%. Join the coffee club so you can choose your roast frequency of shipment and get it shipped for free to your front door. Only at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today, get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com.
It's not a surprise that when you're kind of seeing this manifest itself in a campus like this. Now, of course, it's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
Unless it is hummus, because hummus can be delicious with some flatbread, you know.
I still wouldn't live in a tent for hummus.
Yeah, I wouldn't live in a pup tent for hummus or Hamas either. That's John Fetterman, who I swear sounds like the sanest person in the Democrat Party. We are growing to have a regard for him. I don't know how to properly put this into words because the hyper-partisan part of me does not want me to say it. It's weird, right? As he recovers, he's sounding very reasonable, right? What do we do, Kane? What do we do here?
I don't know what we do with that. All we can do is acknowledge what's happening and give credit where credit is due.
I have a weird feeling here. This is weird. He's a Democrat because he's a Democrat. I mean, I think he's doing, I'm not going to say, I can't, oh gosh, it's just, I'm,
It's like when you taste a lemon. You know it's good for you. It has vitamin C.
Well, it's like when you have the first time you eat a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is good? And you eat another one. It's just weird. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. We're all confusion. Every time we play John Fetterman quotes, we are supremely confused. Because you look down on your audio list and it says, oh, Fetterman, and it has a quote. And you're immediately thinking, oh, it's a Democrat. I'm not going to like him. I'm not going to like what he says. And then you play the soundbite and you realize that actually sounds like we are in agreement. Now, Democrats can't do anything to him. Because if they criticize him, they hate people who are recovering from strokes. That's their rules, right? They made the rules. Do you think they just like are kicking themselves right now? He's a Frankenstein's monster for the left. You can't criticize him because remember when the right tried to, and Kane, we did.
We did.
Especially during the election, Pennsylvania. You know, that Oz dude did not have a shot in Hades. No. And he was a horrible candidate. One of the worst candidates I've ever seen to run. Like, really bad. And you had a Democrat who was trying to trick everybody into thinking that he was a Republican and an actual Democrat. So people went for the actual Democrat. I mean, you know. And he actually is making more sense than the dude who was the fake Republican. It's really weird. Not quite sure what to make of that. But he's making a lot of sense. And Democrats can't criticize him because all the criticism that he received previously, it was discredited because he was recovering from a stroke. You can't criticize him. You can't tell him to not wear a hoodie. You can't do it. Now he sounds more sensible than all of the other Democrats. And at least our program, for whatever power we have, he has a hoodie pass. He can wear it as often as he likes. Just all very odd. Very, very odd. But I don't see really a lot of people in the Democrat Party that are saying what he's saying. I mean, he's the only one that has said, okay, well, all they have to do is release the hostages, talking about Hamas. He's the only one who's actually said that. The other ones have not. I mean, that alone, I think, is incredibly significant. Now, a few things. We've got some GOP stuff to get into. Trump and DeSantis met, it was reported. They met yesterday, apparently in Miami. And no, it's not because I have so many people that are saying this. Well, DeSantis should be the VP pick. It's never going to happen. And I think it would be a bad move because they're both from Florida. Trump he's relocated. He's domiciled in Florida, is based in Florida, whatever you want. All Florida is where he's at. And you can't have two dudes from the same state. And I think that there's not going to be an issue so long as nobody shoots themselves in the foot or their dog. I don't think that there's going to be an issue of keeping Florida for Republicans. It's not going to be like it was in 2012 when, I mean, I think not even a third of the votes were in Florida, and I could immediately see the math. I'm like, Mitt Romney just lost Florida. Because Florida was a swing state. People kind of forget that. It was blue in 2012. It was a bit of a battleground after that, and now it's been made reliably red because of a good administration there. But you can't have DeSantis and Trump on the same ticket. I think that if Trump really, it's never going to happen, but I think if Trump really wanted to have a strong VP, he could do Brian Kemp out of Georgia, but Brian Kemp and Trump do not get along. So that's not going to happen. This meeting with DeSantis, I think, was about fundraising is what I'm hearing, because DeSantis has agreed to fundraise for Trump. And that's what it seems like this is going to be for that. But I don't think it's going to be like any kind of, you know, he's not going to be VP or anything like that. They're going to be fundraising. So that's pretty much it. And so the VP contest is still on. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be Noam up in, it's not going to be her out of South Dakota. Dog stuff aside, you know, your unforced error in shooting yourself in the foot in the gravel pit along with your dog. That aside, three electoral votes, it's a red state. No. You got to be, there's strategy with the VP pick when it comes to electoral math as well. Now, this is interesting. And the reason I'm bringing this headline up is because I have heard this from people. So this is from Mediaite. And sometimes when you have, there's certain websites out there like Politico, there's Mediaite. There are a couple of other ones where, like Axios even, where you will have they're viewed as being kind of left-leaning. And you have leftists over there for sure. But you have some conservative writers that they just don't project conservatism immediately because they don't wear their political identity first. They write the story, and there's very few of those people. But I know some of them. And so, and they wind up usually at like Axios, Politico, or Mediaite. And some of the, and Daily Beast even, I know. Some of these bylines, depending on whose name it is, I can tell if it is someone who is who has connections within this particular candidate's circle or this politician's circle, or whether this is just they heard, got wind of some oppo and wrote about it, or whether they were actually fed this. This story that I was reading about Carrie Lake and Mar-a-Lago, I've been hearing this for weeks from a lot of people. I've been hearing this from people who have had fundraisers at Mar-a-Lago, events at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, I've been invited to stuff. I've just never been. I don't really like going to cocktail stuff. And B, I'm here on air with you guys 3 hours a day, every day. So it makes it a little difficult to go and do some of this stuff. But I have been hearing this from quite a few people. So this is the Mediaite headline. Trump getting sick of Carrie Lake's regular visits to Mar-a-Lago. And then there was a side. It said that he privately dismissed her election fraud claim that she didn't win the election. He apparently doesn't believe her. I've heard whispers of that, but I have heard that people are like, she never leaves Mar-a-Lago. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. And some of them are hardcore Republican fundraisers that have raised a lot of money for Trump. I'm just saying, I've actually heard this from the mouths of at least three people in person. No, I'm not going to say anybody's name because then I won't hear any of this stuff again. You think I'm crazy? But, you know, I hear this stuff and I just sort of keep it, you know, in the back. And it's good to reference when I hear headlines like this. Now, the report is that she's kind of worn out her welcome because she is at every single event. Some of his people are concerned that she is spending too much time at every event at Mar-a-Lago and not enough time in Arizona in her district campaigning. And so it's a very important battleground state in Arizona. And apparently Trump had gently suggested to Lake that she should leave the club and hit the campaign trail in Arizona. And this is what a WAPO reporter had stated. And Trump was asking others if she could really win Arizona or if she would hurt his turnout in Arizona. Because she's been struggling with fundraising, Carrie Lake has. That is a fact. She has struggled with fundraising. And this is Arizona where it's not difficult to get. It's like the desert version of Florida. It's not difficult to hit a big old Republican funder there and get some money for your candidacy there. It's not. But she's been struggling with fundraising, and that is a major red flag. This is very clinical analysis. This is not, I don't care what people think about the candidate or anything else. That is a red flag. And so there have been, and I, like I've said, I have heard this from major fundraisers who have hosted major events at Mar-a-Lago. They themselves have actually expressed this, that they were concerned and that they think that the former president was concerned that she was spending too much time at Mar-a-Lago and not enough time raising money in Arizona. And look, that can be a thing. Some people, I think, get misguided as to what the best way to raise money and attention is. And they think, well, if I can just go hang out with the rich people at Mar-a-Lago, I can fundraise off of that. But yeah, but that really can't compare with being in your own district at numerous events. I mean, you are grinding. It is very tiring. And she really needs to focus on that. And his people's concern that her lack of campaigning in that district in Arizona might be reflected upon him. I don't think that that's a misplaced concern because most of the drag affects down ticket, but this is one of those weird instances where in certain pockets of Arizona, she's really disliked because I don't care if you like John McCain or not. That's not a question. It's the Game of Thrones. You got to play the game. If you want to get elected, you got to play the game. You can't go and be like blank the hometown son. You can't do that stuff and expect to win. If it's about winning, you got to play Game of Thrones. That means you got to be nice to people that you may not like. That's politics. And she didn't play the game right, and that's why she ended up losing. I don't think that she was actually defrauded in the election. I think that she played her hand horribly, and she miscalculated, and she lost. Now, I think she's running up against that now. So that's the issue, and he's said to be privately concerned that that could affect turnout on for support for him. And I don't think that's misplaced. Normally, I would be like, well, so there, usually you have to worry about that the other way around. I really don't think that that's misplaced here. So that's something to keep an eye on, because Arizona is a very tricky state. And you guys know how this is. I mean, you have in every one of your all states, no matter where you're listening to me from right now, there is a politician or some sort of political icon from your state. Every state has them. And it's just one of those things that it becomes sort of like a state pride issue. You don't insult, regardless, it doesn't matter. You don't insult somebody from that particular state or from that particular area, because there was that event where she had told McCain's backers to go blank themselves, and she was in his backyard, basically. And they were still raw over, I guess, having just buried him and all this. And it was just, again, it has nothing to do with what you think about McCain. It's an unforced error. Why would you do that? Oh, my gosh. We need candidates who have political acumen, guys, because the stakes are too high. The stakes are too high. So coming up, have you guys heard about this cheese ball dude? He's drawing a massive crowd in downtown New York just to watch him eat cheese balls. This guy draws more people than Biden does at an event. He does.
I'm not surprised.
Biden's going to rethink if he starts coming out eating cheese balls, we know that Biden and that took this guy's audience seriously. So we have a lot still on the way. We got headlines coming up too as we move. So folks over at Gold Co., they want to make sure that you are able to diversify and protect your savings with precious metals like gold and silver through Gold Co. I mean, we talked about the economy earlier with Charles Payne. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. Yay! So add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. You can get their free 2024 Wealth Protection Kit. Learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program while supplies last. And they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. They're very unique in their approach on education first. They're very thorough with the information they provide. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for buyers to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. They make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. No pressure. And they have, thousands and thousands of five-star reviews. So you have to check them out. It's Gold Co. Get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So they're apparently beefing up police patrols after a Central Park violent robbery spree. Apparently people are on edge because there's been an uptick of just numerous muggings all across Central Park. They also had three violent robberies. At least five of these happened within a 27-hour span. And so NYPD said that they're stepping up patrols. People are still wary. Some say that it's still fairly safe to walk in the park. Can you imagine not being able to just like walk in the, especially when you live in a concrete, everything's concrete, and that's like one of your only green spaces. This is one of the most terrifying headlines I've ever read. Again, this is why public restrooms are just sketch. A man ended up in the hospital because he was bitten by a rat in his toilet. Yeah, the unnamed man from Montreal, he was 76 years old. They said he narrowly avoided death. It was a diseased rat in the toilet bowl. Okay, how do you not look in the toilet bowl? How does a rat doesn't just like stand or water to lurk? Where? Oh my gosh. They said that he tried to fish it out, and apparently, I guess it bit two of his fingers. He was given a tetanus shot and sent home, but then he had headaches, abdominal pain, and all this other stuff. And apparently, his kidney were damaged, and he had sepsis from all this, because this rat, I can't even pronounce this, leptospirosis, I just did.
Right.
They think that that's what was transmitted by the rat bite, but also, Why would you fish it out of the lid with your hands? Number one. I don't know. I've got... This, I mean, everybody has their own goals, I guess. This man in Ghana hugged 1,123 trees in an hour for a world record. What? He just walked around and hugged random trees. It looks like he's got a large stick in one of the photos. That's it? That's seriously it?
Yep.
He's studying forestry at Auburn, but he went and... I'm sorry. Like, really? That's your...
record.
We have more on the way. Stick with us. The Cheese Ball Man coming up.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap. And people worrying so much about offending other people.
It's weird because now it's like, I think the folks on the periphery are now involved in pushing back on this stuff. What some of us have been warning about for a decade. Like, this is going to kill comedy. All of this, the woke scolds, this neo-Puritan, which is what I've been saying for also a decade, this neo-Puritan movement. We've been talking about this for so long. And it almost seems like it's too late to see some of these other folks come into the fray. I'm glad Jerry Seinfeld's talking about it. I think he's probably spoke up about it more than most who've been in comedy. But it's weird because you would think that somebody like Jerry Seinfeld would have been able to push back on a lot of that stuff, maybe. But at the same time, would it have cost him his audience? You know, however famous you think someone is, unless they're J.K. Rowling wealthy or even Dave Chappelle wealthy, they don't have immunity. I mean, there's that, you know, the audience will turn on them like that. It's very interesting. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this second hour. He was talking about lack of comedy. Seinfeld was shows the it's because of the extreme left and all of the political correctness. And it is true because... it's not a free-for-all, and it's affected so much. It's not just comedy. It's affected everything, thought, reasoning, academics. It's all, that was the first symptom of the Marxist CRTDEI nonsense. That was the first hint that you got as to what was coming. And when people on the right, because I've been writing about CRT, critical race theory, Marxist critical race theory, for literally over 12 years now. When people on the right first started talking about this, a lot of people, including moderates on the left, thought we were being ridiculous, that maybe we were being too sensitive over the sensitivity of people who were calling political incorrectness out on just average everyday stuff. And it wasn't that, really. I mean, there's good taste and bad taste. There's mean-spiritedness and not. But it was because we saw what was coming. It was a hint of now what is a deluge of, you know, you can't, you have to even change how you say pronouns and you have to welcome men on women's teams. And it's gone. If people on the left who are moderates thought there needed to be a slight course correction, it's gone way beyond that to a destabilization. It's just nothing is funny anymore. You're thinking about that. Like, think about the last new funny thing that you watched. Seriously, what was it? What was the last new? I'm not talking about something old. New funny thing that you watched. I think I watched some of Chappelle's last stand-up, but that's almost kind of like excluded from this. You know what I mean? Like, is there a new program or a new movie that's genuinely funny that you've seen? I can't actually name one. Can you, Kane?
No.
No. Can people in chat, can they name one? What's the last new, not like old Blazing Saddles or any reissue, none of that. Like a new movie or a new program that you've watched that was actually legitimately funny. I am really struggling. I actually don't know. I'm thinking of everything that I've watched.
Was Dairy Girls?
Dairy Girls was funny.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty
It funny. Wasn't super hyper political, but that's like still, I mean, the first season was like 5 years ago.
Right. And that's what I was thinking of too, is that long. I mean, that's as new as I can go. I think I saw a few episodes of Loudermilk I thought was funny.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but that, well, 22 was their last.
Yeah.
They need to come out with a new season. I don't know. Right?
Yeah. I mean, all the movies anymore these days are just remakes of what's already happened.
Like, I was watching some Welcome to Wrexham stuff, and I thought it was kind of amusing, and then it started getting a little, okay, all right, we get it. I ain't getting your politics. Can you just stop shoving it in people's face? It just was weird.
I mean, outside of, like, South Park?
Yeah, South Park. The Beavis and Butthead. The new stuff.
Yeah, the new stuff.
But that's, like, it. And notice, like, those are carryovers.
Right.
Beavis and Butthead and then South Park are long-time... They're carryovers.
Lorraine says in the chat that they're saying The Office. And that's, I mean, again, that's...
old, though.
New?
Yeah, like...
New isn't exactly how I describe The
I
Office.
I know. This is weird.
But, yeah, it seems right, like
okay,
Seinfeld
let's do it like
is...
This. In the right. past 2 years, any new television shows or movies that you've seen that have been funny? The only funny thing that I saw, and I mean genuinely laugh out loud, was... And everyone was saying, what happened to SNL? They had two skits that were genuinely funny. And people could not, they were, and I watched them and they actually were genuinely funny. It was the one with Ryan Gosling and Chris Stapleton. And there was one, we can't play any of it because of copyright, but there was one where it was like these three chicks, three of the cast members who were saying that they were doing a country song. And you know how it is, like, you know, I keyed his car or I, you know, whatever, got back at him, like a little petty revenge. Well, the joke was that one of the girls was just straight up psycho. And she's like, and I switched his shoes with a pair that's a half size bigger so he would think that he was shrinking, like mind job stuff. And it was hysterical because the other girls were like, wait a minute, that's not what we had in mind. And then there was a skit where Ryan Gosling and another cast member, and it was Kenan Thompson who really brought it all together. He was this AI expert, and they were interviewing him, and he just happened to notice two dudes in the audience that looked exactly like Beavis and Butthead. But the joke of it was that nobody else, apparently like the other cast members, did not know that they were going to look like that. And so the reactions were pretty hysterical. They had a hard time getting through the segment, and it was funny. That's it, though. That's it. That's literally it. And they had no politics on. They had these... The thing that made it funny was there was a generalized understanding of the best way I can describe it is like a water cooler reference. You used to have back in, and I think Game of Thrones was maybe one of the last kind of water cooler type TV programs that there was. They didn't release it all at once. It was released like only on Sundays and everybody talked about it Monday. But those events, whether it was, you know, in music or television or a film, that was pretty like straight down the middle and everybody could see it and it was applicable to everybody. And then everyone could reference it at the water cooler and talk about it the next day at work, you know, as just like the stereotypical way of, you know, saying that it was mainstreamed. It was a water cooler touch point, right? We don't have those anymore. And I kind of think that that's sort of required for something to be super ridiculously funny. Not that it's like so niche, not that it's so, for to have like a wider audience to be really funny. And like the Beavis and Butthead and the Stapleton skit, that was hysterical because who wouldn't laugh at that, right? Who wouldn't laugh at it? It was funny. But that's it. Everybody else is so wrapped up in their identity of politics. And it's like this, they can't separate themselves from it. And they can't make anything and create anything separate from that. And that's part of it. It's a really weird thing that and we indulge it. I will say those two skits were actually genuinely, the country music thing was one of the cleverer things I've seen in some time. That was, that took me for a trip. I did not expect that punchline. And I rarely laugh out loud. And I laughed out loud. I laughed my head off at that thing. That was hysterical. And then I guess they went back to sucking. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking. I think Ted Lasso was the only other thing I could think of. The only other show that was actually, but it was like drama-y funny.
Yeah, I don't like drama. And I don't like my idea of a chick flick is Death Proof,
but
right?
At least it was a semi-original idea. And at least, you know.
Roy Kent was the only one and I chuckled. But I right. didn't like, ah, ha, ha. But he was funny. The Roy Kent is right. funny. I mean, he's like the best person on that whole show.
But we had such a surplus of comedy in the 90s. I think we took it for granted.
Apparently, the chat said Young Sheldon. I've never watched that.
I've seen some episodes of Young Sheldon. I think it's great.
I don't even know what it's about. I don't even know what it's about.
You know the Big Bang Theory Sheldon?
No, I've never watched
Sheldon
that.
Cooper from the Big Bang
no.
Theory? Well, it's the prequel, I guess, and it's him as a child.
Oh, I mean,
and
I'm less interested.
His childhood.
I don't know. It's just very... Yeah, I will say real quick, and we got some other stuff to hit. We needed a palate cleanser. One of the best shows that I'm watching right now is called Constellation. I think it's like on Apple TV Plus or whatever. I can't remember what it's on. It is so creepy and it's so good. And it's actually a super creepy examination of quantum physics. And yeah, it's terrifying when you think what is scientifically allowable. Like, or what can exist scientifically, like different possibilities of you all coexisting in different plane. It's messed up. It is so good. It is such a good series. The first episode, though, I'm not going to lie, it was so creepy. I turned on my patio light because I was like, it's dark out there. This is creepy. And I had to go turn on my patio light. I legit was creeped out. All right. So we had to talk about that because I'm always fascinated by that. I think that's comedy is a good measure, I think, of how healthy a society is. Can a society laugh together and at itself? We're not really there in the United States, are we? I don't think so. Why are we not doing what this guy does? So this guy, he's called Cheeseball Man. He's 22 years old. He's figured out life. He's he went to Manhattan's Union Square on Saturday. And he wore an orange mask and he ate an entire jar of cheese balls, apparently silently. And he said at one point he thought he was going to throw up and then people were chanting, keep it down. So I just kept it in. He said he literally did an interview with ABC on this. And there were posters that popped up all around the area in the weeks leading up to the event. And they said, watch me eat this entire jar of cheese balls. And it was a man in a ski mask holding a giant jar of cheese balls. And he put this poster up all over Manhattan. And apparently there was a ton of people that showed up. The crowd, you could hear the crowd from two blocks away. He had a flag of himself. And then he said that afterwards he wanted to go home and throw up. And that's actually what he wrote about it. He had a QR code and all that. It said, watch me eat this entire jar of cheese balls. Union Square Park, April 27th, 3 p.m. And people showed up. There were tons of people that showed up to this thing. Like tons of them. There was a massive crowd and he ran in with a flag. And then he went and ate all of them. And then he was like, oh, I'm sick. Of course. He had more people at his event than Biden did. I'm not lying. He totally did. Maybe that's what Biden needs to do. Speaking of Biden's coming up, do you know that Hunter Biden is now suing? He's going to sue Fox News for defamation. For our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. And they do a lot of good. And they also save you a lot of money. Here's the thing. If you have not switched to your cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, you are working, just so you know, you're working with a cell phone company, most likely, definitely likely, that is putting money in the pockets of far left political action committees. They are putting money in the pocket of, you know, the abortion on demand, taxpayer funded up to the moment of birth crowd, because that's the real advocacy now. Gun control, all of that stuff. You don't want to fund that. That's what you vote against. So why would you consistently use a cell phone service that does fund it? This is why you need to switch to Patriot Mobile. So in addition to giving momentum to your beliefs with their political groups, You are also getting the most dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area. It's a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. You're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. And you also can get free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this Florida man is in trouble because he was blasting turkey calls at his neighbors. And so he got charged with stalking. He's 50 years old. He got a stalking charge over this. Apparently he was tormenting his neighbors with antics that included broadcasting turkey calls over a loud speaker, according to investigators. It was a 10-month ordeal. The Wakulla County Sheriff's Office, they said there were 14 complaints, several incidents, including one battery arrest at the suspect's home. And they said that apparently it all started because somebody's dog went on to the neighbor's property, killed the chickens. You're going to take, don't tell Christy, no. And then the sheriff's office got involved. They caught one of the dogs on the property. And then the other one was playing turkey calls to aggravate the neighbors. And oh my gosh. And it just like escalated from there. So they issued an arrest warrant that was on April 12th, charging the suspect with the stalking of the neighbor. He was arrested 12 days later. They haven't named him, but man alive, I can't.
What do you do with neighbors like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Like you got to try to get along with people, but then, yeah. The turkey call thing.
I'd hope for a turkey or two to wander onto my property. Maybe have dinner later.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Golly, this one's so bad. Oh gosh, I don't even. Okay, I have some on this list, and then I've. Okay, here's this one. He's an 83-year-old, and he got in. So this is Palm Beach. He apparently had some time, a private time with a prostitute in his vehicle. And then the prostitute carjacked the guy and stole all his stuff. And he had to call the police. 85-year-old victim. He says that this prostitute carjacked him.
85?
He's 85 years old picking up prostitutes and using his car as a Motel 6. Okay.
His name Keith Richards.
Yeah. Oh, the sheriff's office said deputies were alerted to the carjacking. It happened behind a Publix grocery store. So it was. Oh, yeah. And a deputy then later, they looked for it. They found the stolen vehicle and it was 2 miles away from the original crime scene. And they arrested the prostitute that's there, Nakia Acklin.
The carjacker?
Yeah. And the 85-year-old victim said that he did solicit her. And he said, right when their time together came to an end, she took his car. And the victim was initially reluctant to press charges because he was ashamed because he's outing himself. And the prostitute was booked in the Palm Beach County Jail on accounts of carjacking, unlawful possession of a stolen debit card, unauthorized possession of a driver's license. Oh, my. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about the guy called Pee-wee who went around exposing himself at various Florida stores multiple times a month.
Did he get the nickname?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What is happening? That'll be for tomorrow. We have our third hour on the way. Stephen Yates will be joining us, too. Stick with us.
To another alternative. It certainly will help increase the volume of aid that's getting into Gaza, but nothing can replace, quite frankly, nothing can replace the ground routes and the trucks that are getting in. And I will say that they have been increasing the amount of trucks that have been getting into Gaza. Now, there's still challenges on the ground in getting it up into the north, but that's starting to happen. And the Israelis have started to meet the commitments that President Biden asked them to meet. This pier is now being constructed. It will take probably 2 to 3 weeks before we can really see it in operation. I mean, really? it's a fairly complicated procedure.
It's a floating pier that's already getting mortared. I'm really shocked that the floaty pier that we put outside of Gaza is getting bombed already. It's so surprising. Welcome back to the program. There's John Kirby talking about that pier that we're spending, was it $230 million taxpayer dollars to build, to give aid to the Hamas government in Gaza? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the third. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Catch us on X, YouTube, Rumble, Channel 347, DirecTV. We're everywhere. But we talked about this last weekend because you have, it's weird because you're not only giving aid to your one ally in the Middle East, but you're also giving aid to the elected, I mean, they were dutifully elected, the elected terrorist government of Gaza that is mortaring the pier that is supposed to be used to as the staging ground and delivery area for aid that is going to Gazans that Hamas keeps saying, I don't know. It's all weird. It's just so dumb. The strategy with this is, I'm getting Hamid Karzai International Airport vibes all over again. Kabul, I'm getting those vibes all over again with us. Because who's going to guarantee the safety and security of those U.S. Troops on the ground that are there, supposedly only just delivering and helping the aid delivery process? I mean, because at first they said it was just going to be direct to Gazans, and now they got they wanted the IDF to help protect it. What? None of it makes sense. You're going to have the entity that was attacked protect the troops delivering aid to the entity that was attacked's enemy? And the enemy still has American hostages? Oh, don't give me the whole, well, it's Gaza, not Hamas. They elected Hamas. There are two surveys out, just to recap for everybody. There are two surveys out showing overwhelming approval for Hamas, including support for October 7th. And the first one was done in December of 23, and the second one was done at the end of February. So, yes, absolutely. One of them was done by an international press consortium, and the other one was done by a Gazan agency. So, yes, there's $320 million.
Well, it got raised. After the attack, now there's an additional 70 plus million they had to add to it.
Because for repairs? We're assuming.
That's the excuse.
Well, there you have it. For the repair. We're just going to keep bombing it. It'll get more and more expensive.
Right.
The governor of Texas has warned everybody, guys, there's gators in the Rio. Okay, there's warning signs in some sectors. Cross only at your own risk. Because apparently there have been numerous gators, large ones, on video, photographed, video recorded in the Rio. They said that some of them they said that apparently 20 years ago, this sounds like an old folk tale, this old legend. 20 years ago, there was a veterinarian who lived north of this city, and they had a non-breeding pair that escaped from an enclosure during a flooding event of the Rio. And then apparently ever since then, these gators have populated the Rio from this one incident. And they said that there have been no reported encounters, but they don't seem fearful of the airboats. And that's one thing that Border Patrol said. They're not afraid of the airboats. They don't care. So they're a little different apparently than other gators, but there's actual video of them there. Now, the whole border security mission, they said that they've been making accommodations for soldiers working along the border. Apparently, there's going to be Texas National Guard soldiers, et cetera, that are going down there as part of Operation Lone Star. Now, in the meantime, listen to this. So that's what Texas is doing with regard to the border. Listen to this. So in New York City, this is a crazy story. This story in New York City, this firefighter was fired from his department, 36 years old, because they've been cutting a lot of services in New York to go to war, to fund services for those who entered illegally. And this guy's job was apparently one of those on the chopping block, 36 years old. Well, he apparently was distraught and stressed, and he had a heart attack and died of a heart attack, age 36, just on April 15th. And the city's fired him and many other firefighters as part of due to a budget crunch, according to Daily Mail and New York Post, to fund services for illegal immigrants. He leaves behind his wife, a six-year-old and a two-year-old. And he was one of a group of fire department employees on long-term duty. So, yeah, they're having to cut essential services for people to help fund this stuff. Because heaven forbid they say, we actually think that the border should be secure. They don't want to go back on that because it'll cost, whoever says it'll cost them votes. They can't go back on that. It's wild. It's truly wild. Now, in addition to this, Hunter Biden is suing Fox News for defamation, which I guess he doesn't realize how this plays out because that means he's going to have to go through discovery, I would imagine. I can't imagine this case proceeding and not. So he apparently is, they said it's litigation against Fox News, and they're going after Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, Maria Bartiromo, and they're demanding that they take down their special, The Trial of Hunter Biden, which is a 6-part mock trial. And they are done with them using these salacious photographs of Mr. Biden. You know the salacious photographs, right? Like the one where he's smoking crack, which I'm totally going to use, by the way, as the image. I'm making a note for myself. The image for the headlines for tomorrow's headline post. But he's all the stuff where he's like smoking crack and doing all this. They don't want those photos used. And they said that they're salacious photographs depicting Mr. Biden. They said it's reprehensible that they're airing them, and they say it's unlawful exploitation of his image and his name, and oh my gosh, I can't even deal. So, yeah, and they still have motions. They're trying to get the felony gun charges in Delaware against him dismissed still. He's still on trial, California trial, on his tax fraud charges. So, yeah, this is all... He's suing them for defamation for showing the pictures that he took of himself smoking crack.
That legally he no longer has any right to.
Yeah, he has no right to them. He signed that over.
So
for the people who aren't aware of that, when he took his laptop in to that computer repair shop, he dropped it off there and he signed a form. And the form that he signed and handed back to that store proprietor was a form that said, if you do not come back and collect your property, and I think they gave it like 6 months. It was something, a long time. They said, if you don't come back and collect your property, like it's three, I think it was like 3 to 6 months, then the property becomes the property of the repair shop. And he had to sign that in order to get his computer repaired. And he signed that form. So technically, this isn't even any of his stuff anymore. And it's fair use, and it's newsworthy, because it's the son of the president of the United States who has been getting money from his dad, and he has been buying coke and hookers with it, and making deals with Chinese businessmen and all kinds of stuff. He's been completely compromised. So I think it's, you know, complete general interest. And so this is, yeah.
Let's not forget that they labeled this, and we had all this in our possession, all was in the public, and they labeled this Russian disinformation for like a year.
Oh, and by they, all of these previous intel chiefs,
right,
including the ones who lied under oath about wiretapping and spying on American citizens, those two, the Brennans. And, yeah.
So it started as Russian disinformation, but now it's salacious exposure of someone's private information.
Yeah, it can't be true. It can't be both of these things.
That's weird.
It can't be both of them. It has to be one or the other. So it can't be fake news and a made-up story, and also real and salacious and exploitation. Yep. Fascinating. We've been talking about this story. Lorraine shared with me a headline, the Kristi Noem story. Apparently, she was like doubling down on the whole dog shooting thing. She wrote a book, and in the book, she writes about taking her wire-haired pointer, a puppy that wasn't trained. She said she wanted to train the dog to hunt pheasants. And she let the dog run around in the field and get birds and all that. And then she went to the neighbor's house and took the dog with her. And the dog got out of the truck somehow. I mean, I don't know how a dog gets out of the truck unless you allow an open window for your sporting breed or your working breed dog to jump through. And chomped the necks of some chickens because that's what the dog had spent the day in the field doing. And Kristi Noem said that she took the dog. She hated the dog. She said the dog's untrainable, and she took the puppy to a gravel pit and shot it. And you guys know how I feel about dogs. But that aside, that ridiculousness aside, why do you write about it in a book and flex on it? That just shows no political acumen. And I have to say, as somebody, again, hi, grew up in the Ozarks, whole family, ranching, farming. My husband grew up on a farm. There's a difference in dealing with nuisance animals that are adults and then puppies that just you can't, that need to be trained. There's a difference. And why did you not secure your dog if you're going around chickens after they were running all around all day in a field going after birds? I don't get it. Anyway, why would you put it in a book and Mitt Romney yourself? There's just no political acumen. And I was telling people, because I've had some folks ask this, you know, she is a moderate, and she is, but apparently she was doubling down on this, what Lorraine had shared. And, saying that she was it didn't look, it actually didn't look any better. She goes, she said that she was trying to figure out why people were still so upset about this story. She says it's a 20-year-old story. Well, it's a story that you just put in a book, and you put it in a book purposely for reaction, because you and your publisher sat down and determined that this is an excerpt you both were okay with putting in a book and putting it out there so you would get people to talk about your book. She wants to be VP. It's not going to happen. But the other thing too, even this aside, I would not want her as VP for her record alone. And really quickly, there's a lot of really good stuff out here on this, and I'll put something together later on for the newsletter over at Substack. But she had rejected legislation. Remember the Chamber of Commerce, that whole situation with the NCAA and protecting women's sports. She messed that up and then tried to turn around and say that, you know, she was really trying to do the right thing, and there was a lot of nuance there, which it wasn't. She didn't protect women's sports in her state. She shot down that sports bill that would have stopped men from competing in women's sports. Now, a year later, because she was facing re-election, a similar bill came up to her for her signature, and then she signed that one because she was facing re-election. She was also very much pro-lockdown, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, that she's rewriting history to make herself seem more conservative. But it was the Republican legislature that actually stopped her from locking the state down. John Schweppe has some really great history on this, looking at her executive orders, where she was mandating adherence to CDC guidance, including social distancing, where she mandated a stay-at-home order, where she was mandating that businesses suspend or modify practices per CDC, where she was mandating that healthcare providers postpone non-essential elective surgeries, where she was mandating that business organizations provide essential services so long as they go along with CDC guidelines, and then House Bill 1297 that was about lockdowns that she tried to push through, that the Republican state legislature actually stopped. They stopped her. That state would have locked down, and you would have had very strict New York style restrictions had the Republican lawmakers in South Dakota not stopped Kristi Noem. That is not hearsay. It is not conjecture. It is not opinion. It is fact with actual records of bills and what was proposed and what was voted on and who backed what and her quotes and her statements at the time. That's history. So she would be a nightmare candidate for him. I just don't think she needs to rewrite history. I mean, I think the shooting of the dog thing was stupid. I think it was a bad flex. I think it demonstrates she has no political acumen. But what demonstrates her scarcity of political acumen even more was where she was on lockdowns and mandates and the trans bathroom bill, all of that. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, it's the folks over at Hillsdale College. And Hillsdale understands education, and they understand also the risks to liberty, which comes with an undereducated populace. And they're a small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan. And they were founded to offer the type of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. And so to that effect, they've been putting out this free speech digest called Imprimis. It's literally free for you. There's no cost or obligation. You just sign up and they send it out to you. Like, for instance, in this latest issue, they dive into how Marxist critical race theory is making everything less safe, particularly medicine. American Medical Association, they're saying that it's medicine is loaded with white supremacy, and that expectations for excellence are loaded with white supremacy. So they're lowering the standards on medical school entrance tests. This is happening in so many other fields that is so dangerous. I mean, that's like anxiety nightmare fuel. So this is what they talk about in Imprimis. They do deep dives on all of this with leading constitutional thinkers, and there's no cost or obligation. They produce and mail it over at Hillsdale as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. So sign up for your free subscription today at danaforhillsdale.com. That's Dana for F-O-R, Hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this dude, apparently, this guy, Joey Henney, from Georgia, had an emotional support alligator. It went missing while on a Georgia vacation with its owner. Sorry, he's in Georgia. He's a Pennsylvania man. It was his emotional support alligator called Wally. And residents are asking where it is. It disappeared on April 21st. He said he last saw his pet in Brunswick, Georgia, on the East Coast, and he believes he was stolen. And he said that he had delayed filing a police report because he didn't have the proper permit for Wally. And so he's offering a reward of an undisclosed sum, but he's got all kinds of pictures with this gator. It had a little harness on it, and apparently you could, like, pet it. Well, I don't know why. It looked tame. I don't think that this is... In some ways, they look real cute, and in some ways, they don't, and I don't know, man. I'm torn. I don't... It's a gator, you know? Oh, gosh. CDC says it's identified the first documented case of HIV transmitted through cosmetic needles with the vampire facial procedure. A New Mexico medical spa is believed to have the first documented case of people contracting it, and they said it's looks like contaminated needles. It's... Really? This is all. We have a lot more on the way. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us coming up. Don't go anywhere. Peltech, you guys are very familiar with the Sub-2K, which is their 9mm carbine. It's been shipping for a while now. And if you're familiar with the previous iterations, the Gen 3 has some upgrades on it. So it makes it, I mean, the Gen 3, the whole thing folds in half. I mean, all of them fold in half. It makes it easy to store, deploy. It's accurate. You can have fun on the range. This 9mm carbine, though, you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. It's just a super easy, simple, singular twist and fold motion in either direction to get your fold it in half. You don't have to detach your optics anymore. It just, the whole thing folds right in half. And it also takes Glock mags. So you got Glock 19 mags that fit flush, and better improved trigger, redesigned mechanics, lighter 5-pound pull that translates to improved accuracy, upgraded action as well, and makes it easier to rack. And internal buffer means softer recoil. So it's awesome. It's from Keltec, made in America, Florida-based, family-owned and operated, and they make some really innovative stuff, and we need more of them. So to learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com, and tell them Dana sent you.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm focusing on turning the Senate Republicans into the majority here and focusing on advocating, as I think I successfully did this very week, for moving away from the isolationist movement that began with Tucker Carlson.
Oh, it began with Tucker Carlson.
It did. He has a huge, he had a huge audience among rank and file Republicans, and I think it was very destructive.
I think it's disingenuous and mean-spirited to say that people were not plugged into what was happening, particularly as it pertains to where their tax dollars are going internationally, until Tucker Carlson began to talk about it. And if that's what Mitch McConnell truly believes, then he's more out of touch than anyone ever realized, because this has been a sentiment that predates Tucker even having his show on Fox. I don't know where that's coming from. That was Mitch McConnell. Welcome back to the program. We're at the bottom of this third hour. Joining us right now, I'm curious as to his thoughts on this, Stephen Yates, who's senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. He joins us now via Skype. Stephen, good to see you. I wouldn't classify, I also don't think it's isolationism, but it didn't begin with Tucker Carlson.
No, in fact, it didn't begin with Donald Trump either, but Donald Trump accurately read a movement in the country that was going to realign politics. And it was one of like three issues that he built a campaign around that no one believed was going to go anywhere. It was just a cartoon. But he tapped into something and became the face of a movement that definitely pre-existed his candidacy and Tucker's show. And it isn't isolationist. It drives me bananas to hear people say these kinds of things, because there was a guy I really loathed that had a case before the state Supreme Court where I lived. And one of the justices paused the case and momentarily said, "Mr. Smith, you must think we're stupid." And when people say things like this, this is isolationism because we don't want unaccounted for unlimited money to just go somewhere overseas, that's isolationist. You must think we're stupid. Yeah. And I guess he's talking to one of those famous isolationists like Marco Rubio, who voted against this. Now, Marco Rubio's on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, not known for isolationism. And he was against this and also believed and made clear, you have got to deal with the invasion across our southern border before I'm going to sign on to more money going to these other things. And McConnell and others didn't believe him or didn't take him seriously. And so now he's out there throwing names out there. But it is not isolationist to say that Europe ought to be helping Europeans more than Americans are helping. It doesn't mean we're zero, but they've got to step in a more meaningful way. And it's not isolationist to say we'll sell military equipment to people, but we don't want to give all of our munitions and armaments away to someone without them paying anything for them. Sell the stuff if you have to. So that's not isolationism. It's just a different kind of engagement. So it's very disingenuous of the minority leader, who I don't think will be majority leader because he's stepping out of that leadership race. So I don't know why we're listening at this point.
I agree with you. And for those who don't know, Stephen Yates he worked in the Bush administration. He was advisor to former VP Dick Cheney, and he worked in the Trump administration. So you have the benefit of seeing two very different approaches with regard to foreign policy. And so I think more so than a lot of other people out there, you can definitively say, yeah, this is isolationism and this is not isolationism.
No, I mean, really, Americans are generous, but we don't want to be mugged.
Right.
And so we're going to help those who help themselves. And if we see a genuine need, we tend to be an extremely generous people, have for many, many decades. It's not like we haven't given a lot to Ukraine so far. So if we're isolationist, where's those billions coming back?
And it doesn't help when you have their deputy prime minister going out there and saying that if the U.S. and EU don't meet their promised obligations, then they're going to have difficulty paying their pensions and benefits. And my first thought is, well, you're in a time of war. Maybe the pensions and benefits can go to the side for right now.
Yeah, life first. Retirement later, you'd think you'd have sort of a sense of focus. But also, it's not the job of the United States to run their government and their benefits program. That is exactly what a lot of Americans are sick and tired of.
Exactly.
Come in a time of emergency, if you've been a good partner and ally, and we want to keep you from getting bullied because we don't want those threats coming to our shores. But don't, this idea that we somehow owe you something like this, you're starting to get into welfare territory when you start talking like that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is as well. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates, and you can find him on X at YatesComms. The Space Force general, I love that we have a Space Force. I know we're not out in space yet, but there's some groundwork that can be laid. The Space Force general says that China's military developing space assets at a, quote, breathtaking speed. And they said that they are, quote, seriously focused at U.S. Space Command on their pacing challenge. Do they have the capability to be competitive in that area? Because I don't generally put a lot of faith in what they make.
Right. Well, they definitely have quality control problems. And their objective probably is to try to be in control of what's out there in space. But really, their nearest term objective is to have the capability to disrupt, to make it so that it's hard for us to sustain our economy and regular activity in a time of crisis, and maybe to be able to disrupt our assets in space that would support our military if it was trying to deter unwanted activity in there near abroad. And so it's easier and cheaper to be able to do that technologically and otherwise, and that is a problem. But the other flip side of it is, what are we doing to invest, innovate, and basically be good enough, strong enough that it really doesn't matter so much what they're trying to do? I like the idea that our private sector is active in space, but you want to make sure that it's our government that is supposed to provide for the common defense.
Right.
There are certain missions that are explicit in our Constitution, and they shouldn't be controlled by a private corporation. And we haven't really had a good track record of investing and staying ahead in those capabilities. The Obama administration played lip service to it. We've been distracted with a few other things in recent years. And the Chinese have had the advantage of just pushing ahead because they don't have any accountability or transparency.
I think that's a really good point that you just made, too, that, you know, we like the private sector being involved in stuff. And it's not an issue of being against the private sector being involved in this. But the only objection comes when you're letting the government off of the hook for what it's constitutionally obligated to provide for. And then that frees them up to go and spend stuff on, you know, anything that's not Article 1, Section 8. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, it happens to have the added virtue of being true, and it's in black and white. I didn't make it up.
Anthony Blinken, he had gone to this 3-day diplomatic trip to Beijing. I don't know if it was successful because it seems like this is like the second or third such trip that he's made. I know part of him going over there was, you know, saber rattling, warning China to not get too much involved with Ukraine and Russia. But I don't think that that carried any weight. I think China's going to do what it's going to do there, particularly if it makes the Biden administration mad.
Well, I think he's like the most fragile Secretary of State we've had in our history. But it's gotten better for him. I mean, consider his first engagement with the Chinese, where he had to go on U.S. soil to get mugged rhetorically by a couple of wolf warriors that were throwing his and his boss's campaign rhetoric down her throat. And he just had to smile and try to say, but we'd like to cooperate and we need to tackle climate change and whatever else. So, aside, you know, it's gotten better for him that he didn't get dragged like a rag doll during this visit. They just took the red carpet away from the airplane, didn't want to shake his hand, made him come and go kind of with a few people, mostly lonely times. And he had to sit off to the side of the table, didn't get the smile and friendly embrace from the dear leader. He just got to be lectured to. So it's a little better for him, but this visit was never going to work from the get-go. The Chinese made it clear. And I think that the Biden administration is just going through the motions to say that they're trying. Mm. But, you know, for some of us, you know, made very, very clear my view. My daughter was killed by fentanyl. I have no grace for people who don't want to hold foreign leaders accountable for what we know they did that's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. It's one thing to talk about Ukrainians. It's one thing to talk about my friends in Taiwan. I care about those people, but I care about Americans first. Mm. And if you aren't bellying up to that to make the threat of sanctions on that, then I don't really have a lot of time for you.
And the House panel story came out. House panel said that it's very clear that China subsidizes the fentanyl production to fuel the crisis in the U.S. Because that is, I think a lot of people think that enemy tactics, for the lack of a better way to put it, are much more blatant and obvious and much more symmetrical. And they're not. And this seems like a very obvious way. If you are a geopolitical opponent and you want to destabilize someone, there's no better way to do it than to fuel this sort of crisis with these drugs.
Absolutely. They do the sort of mind games by way of the algorithms and different apps and their political warfare on that sort of messes with people. They fan the flames of division and the radicalization so that we don't have people from middle America that want to be recruited into a military and have to serve with people who actually hate the country they're sworn to defend. And then you literally kill and immobilize a generation of recruiting aged Americans. It is weakening us from within before they have to fire a shot.
Yeah, it's a good point. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates, last topic, and this is something that I've always been kind of on the fence about with regard to Elon Musk and China, because the production of EVs, I mean, everybody knows he's got a gigafactory there in China as well. And I understand he's a business person. You know, he's doing business in China. I mean, for crying out loud, Trump even had hotels in China. He did business in China. Things are a little different than they were 10 years ago, even though he visited China very recently. Musk did, showing off new electric vehicles. Do you think that it is, how much of a concern do you think it is that, you know, here we have, you know, it is the owner of X, and we do think that he's done a lot for free speech, and he's been very transparent, and I know a lot of our side likes him because he agrees with us. But at the same time, I feel like the right also kind of tiptoes around. Yes, he is a business person. Yes, he has business relations in China. But do you think that he would ever sacrifice that for the principles that he wants to uphold here in the U.S.?
Well, I'd like to believe the answer is no, but I would welcome conversations with him and others about how do you make sure, if you're investing in manufacturing out of China, how about we not make the American market dependent on those things? If you want to supply China and it's near abroad with what you're manufacturing in China, that's one thing. I'm not interested in that, but it's one thing. But if you're going to make your U.S. supply chain dependent on any of that, then I think that there's real cause for concern. Also, she's a very intelligent man, has read more than almost anyone I've ever met. And I've met a few people with photographic memories like Newt Gingrich. I am sure he knows that there's a long list of companies that have gone in, developed big, had their moment, and then things literally get taken from them by the Chinese. He has to have thought ahead of that. I mean, if the guy can get a rocket to take off and land on its own to be reused, he has to see that this is the cycle of dealing with the dragon. And so I hope on that front, but every once in a while I see the messages publicly and I'm like, there's a lot I like about this guy, and there's a lot I like about the technology he's involved in. And then there's things that he says and other people say, and it's just not comfortable with me.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good assessment. Our good friend Stephen Yates, the expert in this area, at YatesComms on X. Always good to see you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course, you too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of programming. And as we do so, not possible at all without our partners, like the folks over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K, which is still shipping. The Sub-2K, which is awesome, 9mm carbine. And this is a Florida-based, USA, made in America, family-run, family-owned and operated company. And they're incredibly innovative. The Sub-2K, the previous iterations, you had to take the optics off to fold it in half. But the Gen 3 makes it even easier to store and deploy and all of that, because you don't have to take off the optics. You can leave them on. A twist and fold motion in either direction of that rotating fore-end means no more attaching and reattaching your favorite optics. It also takes Glock mags, Glock 19 mags, fit flush. You also have a redesigned trigger. One of the redesigned mechanics make for a lighter 5-pound pull that improves accuracy. Also has a redesigned operating handle, internal buffer, means softer recoil, easier to rack. It's just a great carbine for the whole family. And it's made in America. Like I said, this is Gen 3 is one you should have in your collection. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So apparently there was this influencer that the Biden administration hired to push political propaganda about then Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, and it was an OnlyFans chick who also has an account on TikTok. And she was telling everybody that she was on a podcast. Farah Khalidi, she's an OnlyFans person. She said that she was paid to spread political propaganda for the Biden administration on social media via New York Post, and that she was asked to hide the fact that it was advertising. And they told her, well, technically, because it's not a product, you don't have to disclose it. And she said that they asked her, quote, can you say, as a person of color, you know that you feel reflected with the Ketanji Brown Jackson thing? He asked an OnlyFans person to do your propaganda. She has a whole 119,000 followers on Instagram. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So she was like, I was doing full on political propaganda. What? So that's, so they're paying OnlyFans people to talk. I mean, they're going, you know, for the quality of their audience, you know, so that's what I guess.
They've been doing this from the beginning, though. They've been bringing in these, like, D-list, quote-unquote, influencers to do social media for the White House, and it's just, it's cringe.
Was this, like, on her other social medias? Like, do they tell you to also say this on OnlyFans? Like, I don't even know how that works. Like, are you in the middle of, you know, doing some skanky stuff, and then you're like, by the way,
they'll pay them to do it on their OnlyFans, and then somebody from the campaign will screen cap it and then put it out on their Twitter and repurpose it on their social media.
Would they actually put that up on OnlyFans? Because then you'd have to be like, oh, well, if you got it from OnlyFans, are you there? Like, I don't know. It's still so weird. This is trash. It's just such a trash. All of it is. It's just, I don't know. It's so weird. Just stop. I mean, I understand, you know, that I get the idea of political advertising, but this, you're paying people to be like, I feel represented, you know, while you're doing your OnlyFans thing. I don't know. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
It's funny because it is. The OnlyFans thing is the Today in Stupidity. And we have the audio for it. One, it's cut seven. This is her admitting it right here.
So you were getting, the Biden administration was buying ads from you?
Yeah, I was doing full-on political propaganda.
And they would just, what kind of Biden created 10 million jobs?
Honestly. And the funny thing is, they're like, do not disclose this is an ad, because, you know, they're like, technically it's not a product. You don't have to disclose it's an ad. Because I think they just wanted like some edgy girl of color to just tell people, like when they nominated like Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're like, you say, like, as a person of color, you know, that you feel reflected?
Good Lord.
That's like,
no shame.
If there was any consistency with the whole racisms, they would be like, you're campaigning for an old white dude and you're like literally trying to hire minorities to go and say they agree with your decisions. That doesn't seem compromising. Folks, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, like and subscribe over at YouTube and Facebook. I'll be back with you tomorrow if I don't go in for federal jury duty.